You know that song we sang, All Will Be Well? The next to the last line, it says, only your presence, my vessel to guide. You know, people talk about seeing the light and following the light and being enlightened. Sometimes you don't even see the light of the Lord. It's just dark and it's difficult and trying. And the only thing we have, we can be sure of at all times, is only your presence, my vessel to guide. Sometimes we don't even know where we're going or what we're doing. But know this, his presence is here. And we only need his presence to guide this vessel. And somehow he gets us there. Great words. Today we're departing from Psalms. We're going to go on. You know, I love Easter time, Resurrection Day time. So we're going to carry it on a little bit longer. Luke chapter 24, verse 33 to 53. We're going over Luke 24, 33 to 53, after the resurrection. Lord, we pray that you guide the word tonight, that we understand it, that we are ministered to and encouraged by it, and that you would just bless us. Teach us, Lord. It's just good to sit quietly at your feet, take in what you have to say, and to just worship you and listen to you and bless you. We pray we would do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On the day of resurrection, there were two disciples walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were sad. It looked like defeat, like it was all over. Jesus was crucified and buried, and they're probably thinking, well, I guess it's all not true. But we know his resurrection is real, and he is risen as he said. And as they were walking, Jesus came along and just met up with them. They didn't recognize him. And he begins talking with them. And he actually gives them a Bible study on that road to Emmaus. And then he vanished from their sight. Now, I'll bet it was quite a Bible study as he went through all the scriptures pertaining to him. And then we see in verse 32, they said to one another after he vanished, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Their heart burned within them as Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, this personal Bible study with the Lord himself. The good news is that we now, believers, have the whole Word of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but we just need to open up our heart and listen to God speak to us, because it's God speaking to us as if he were here, just as if the Lord were here. We have the Word of God. And so they went back to Jerusalem after that, and we read in verse 33, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They went back to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. So they knew who it was once he departed. So they went back to Jerusalem and they went to this place. They found the 11 apostles who were, and other disciples that were gathered with them, and they joined them. And in verse 34, they said, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. As these two fellows came in, these disciples and the 11 that were gathered said to them, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Before they could even share, they probably came back to share that they had seen the Lord, all excited. You know how it is when you know something or hear about something, you want to be the first to tell everyone, and you're all excited. What a bummer when you walk in and before you can even open up your mouth, hey, did you know that the Lord is risen and he's appeared to Peter? Ah, the Lord is risen. And they probably said, no kidding, we saw him. We were just walking with him. He was teaching us. And then in verse 35, and then they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. They broke bread together and says, oh, what a wonderful time it is. It was. Can you imagine the excitement in that room as they're sharing stories? Wow. He appeared to these guys over in the room, and then he appeared to these two guys walking together. And they had all these things they could share. So they shared what happened to them in verse 35. There were a lot of eyewitnesses after Jesus rose. We went over that Sunday in 1 Corinthians 15. A lot. And then in verse 36, now as they said these things, they're speaking, and Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. I wonder how they felt now. Wow, how did you get here? Because he just appeared in the room. He stood and he said, peace to you. Another surprise appearance of Jesus. Jesus is in the room with him. Now we see he appears in bodily form, but no longer bound by physical laws. Walks right through walls, but still in bodily form. But he's the Lord, so he can do anything. And there he is in front of them. He's in the room with them. And he says, shalom, peace to you, a greeting. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. It means ghost. They were terrified. They thought, wow, this is a ghost. This is a spirit. What's important that people know is that Jesus rose from the dead, and he, in bodily form, was seen after. He has conquered physical death, as we read at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. Death and the grave and sin have been conquered by the Lord. When we go from this earth and we die, we will live after. And we need to know that we're going to live after. Jesus appeared in bodily form. And even now he's walking with us. He's with us, around us. He sees, he hears. He says, shalom, peace. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They're still terrified and frightened. You know, they're not processing this yet. Wow, what is going on here? One thing after another. But he made sure he appeared to them, and he appeared to them in bodily form, so they knew it was him. It was necessary for people to know it was Jesus, the one that had been nailed to the cross and rose from the dead. So he appeared in that body, but he defeated death, so he's no longer bound by the laws of earth. But he came back that way, walking the earth. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? He comforts his sheep. Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? And you notice, why do doubts arise in your hearts? Because that's where things really start, in our inner being. And he's going to show them the resurrection is fact. Hey, this is true. In bodily form, I rose from the dead. So he said in verse 39, behold my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. He says, realize it's me. Come on, handle me. You know, the spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, but my body does. And come and see that I am Jesus Christ, that I've risen from the dead. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. So he shows them the nail prints, physical evidence of the resurrection. As we shared Sunday, let's turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Mm-hmm. John 20. Verse 24. You know, Thomas had to be proven. You know, Thomas called the twin, verse 24, one of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so he said to them, same thing, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. You see, the Lord, they had doubt and they were troubled, but the Lord confirms things to us. He deals with our doubt. I'm glad he doesn't say, oh, I'm done with you. You have doubt. He deals with us, and he shows us that he's real. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. He gave them enough evidence to believe. And now the story of the resurrection is carried on by us. So we don't doubt, we just believe. And we come to him by faith. So back to our text, verse 41. After he showed them his hands and his feet, while they still did not believe for joy. Now we see what those words mean. They did not believe. It says here, but while they still did not believe for joy. In other words, it was too good to be true. They just couldn't believe it. Did you ever say that, I can't believe it that that would work out? Or I can't believe that happened? That's why they couldn't believe it, because it was too good to be true. I can't imagine. Can it really be the Lord? You know, sometimes something happens in your life and you just can't believe it. So you keep looking back at it. You keep looking back at it to just verify, wow, it's true. It's true. Wow, you're really here. You're really here. It's just too good to be true. They marveled. They could not believe it. Did you ever say, pinch me? It's too good to be true? And that's what they're saying. They still did not believe for joy, because it was just too good, too joyful to believe, and they marveled. And that's where they were. And so Jesus goes a step further to prove his bodily resurrection in verse 41. He says, have you any food here? Okay, this is really mean. This is my body. Have you any food here? And they, no, just some angel food cake and some heavenly hash. That's all. But you know, he says, got any food here? And he's going to prove to him that he's alive and there is a bodily resurrection. So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb. So fish is good for us. He ate and look at this in verse 43. And he took it and ate in their presence. Imagine everyone staring at him while he's eating. Wow, let's see how this works. Is he really going to eat? And so they're watching him as he's eating. He took it and he ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He says, these are the things that are written. You know, in Luke 9:22, even in the book of Luke, chapter 9, it tells that he will be suffered, be rejected, and killed, and rise again the third day. It's in the Gospels. He says it must be fulfilled. And that's interesting because he says all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All things must be fulfilled. First of all, sin had to be paid for. That was talked about in the Old Testament. But also the things that aren't done yet must be fulfilled. We read about the kingdom age in the Old Testament. We read about the conditions on earth. That is still to come. It will be fulfilled. There are some things we can still look forward to. All the things that are written must be fulfilled. There are three major divisions in the Hebrew Bible. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Genesis, one of the books, Isaiah, Psalms. They all speak of Jesus. They all have to be fulfilled, and Lot was fulfilled. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He personally opened their understanding so they could comprehend the scriptures. And then all of a sudden they could see, oh, that was speaking about the Messiah. Now today, we don't have Jesus with us here personally, but who has he left us? The Holy Spirit. And he says, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. So it's just as if he was here doing the same thing, that he will teach us that we can understand the scriptures. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And we read later on in verse 26, it's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which he would give them. So we have the Holy Spirit teaching us so we can comprehend the scriptures. If one is born again, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they should comprehend the scriptures. The natural man, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, can't understand it because they aren't spiritually alive. Then verse 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. It was necessary for me and you so that we could be saved. And that's why he did it. And then in verse 47, he speaks of the gospel, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. The gospel, repentance and remission of sins. It needs to be preached in his name, in Jesus' name, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That word repentance means turning away from. And it's a turning away from sin. A reversal, it means. To think differently. Confession and repentance are required. Remission of sins are taken away in his name by Jesus Christ. And it's for all nations. If you turn to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus' first words here are to repent. Mark 1 verse 15. He came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. A lot of people share the gospel and say, believe it. Jesus himself said the first step is to repent. Repent and believe. I'm not sure a person can believe if they don't repent. Because what would they be believing in? They must believe they're a sinner and are alienated from God, that they're not a good person, and they have to repent, turn away from sin, make a reversal, not follow the world, but follow the Lord, and then believe in the gospel. And that's what it takes, and that's what Jesus said. That's what we preach. Repentance and remission of sin preached in his name, and we are, and you are witnesses of these things. The disciples were witnesses and to take this truth forward, and now we do. But, 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and we read the promise is the Holy Spirit, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He says, wait. Don't do it yet. Wait for the power to do it. The promise of the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14. In other words, you're not going to do this in the flesh. You can't go out in the flesh and preach the gospel. You have to wait for the Holy Spirit. They were to wait for the Holy Spirit. And we have to be Spirit-led until you are endued with power from on high. The Spirit will come upon you Wait on that promise. Don't go out in your own strength. Many times we don't pray. Wait on the Lord. We aren't equipped. And sometimes we get in the flesh just because we're angry at a person. And we try to save them. But it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. Let's turn back to the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God said he would do this in the Old Testament. Now, the book of Acts is also written by Luke. It carries on. There's the Gospel of Luke, and then it carries on in Acts, and it tells us about the first church. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, where Luke picks it up again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He said, so you wait. Then Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It happened on the day of Pentecost. They waited. I'm wondering how they were waiting. They're probably gathering that upper room. Wait? Still have to wait? We still have to wait? I don't know if you ever fly out of John Wayne Airport, but when you park your car outside there and you cross the street to get into the terminal, they have that light, you push it and it says, wait, 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 and, you know, until those 30 seconds march off, you know? Wait, you want to go, you want to go? And I always think of that, wait. I think of the Lord speaking, like that voice on that traffic signal, wait, wait. It's, you know, it grains on you. It just says, wait. And so he says, wait. And they're probably wondering, how long do I wait? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. They were in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so that's where we see it happen. And then when you read verses from 16 on to 21, it talks about what we read in Joel. It's a fulfilling of that prophecy, and it tells us here right in the book of Acts that that's what the prophet Joel was speaking of. 50 days after Passover is when Pentecost was. So we need to make sure that we always go out in God's power, in the boldness of the Holy Spirit. We are instruments. That's all we are. We're the instruments that God uses. So Jesus said, wait from the power on high. And then in verse 50, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. This is the ascension, 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus walked around, did things, showed he was alive, and 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. Let's again turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After he told them the way, in verse 9, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So he's coming back again in the same place. So he says, don't worry. He's coming back. It's not over. And so back to our text. He blessed them. He was departed from them and carried up into heaven. And in Acts, we see when it happened. And then verse 52, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now they have great joy in their worshiping him. They know their Redeemer lives. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. All the time, praising and blessing God. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you for that resurrection time where great things happened that changed our life. We look forward to you returning, first of all, to take us home in the rapture, Lord. How great that'll be, just to be with you for all eternity. And God, we thank you that you saved us, that we are privileged to be your children and to know we're going to heaven. What a future we have. Help us to be steadfast while we're on this earth, to be good examples, to be lights in the darkness. Keep us strong, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.